When over 10,000 pounds of beef comes roaring at you, it can mean only one thing. The wrestling album with Hulk Hogan's theme, A Real American. Hillbilly Jim's...
Don't messing with a country boy, don't mess with a country boy.
Plus performances by Roddy Piper, Nikolai Volkoff, Captain Lou, Jimmy Hart,
Pretty.
Mean Gene,
Pretty.
Have a junkyard dog.
Grab
a copy of the wrestling album on Epic Records and Tapes, available at your record store.
In 1972,
the photographers...
The Country Boy. Here are all of the nominees.
Welcome to the latest episode of Territorial. I am your host, Sean Kidd. And tonight, kind of a fun one tonight for us. I was thinking through this. I could go through a lot of different pod content, a lot of different pod subjects in my head. And this one, once I thought through this one a little bit, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this one next. So tonight, guys, we are going back to 1985. And we are going to the WWF. And we're going to talk about the wrestling album. I think a lot of people generationally think about 85, 86, and 87 as kind of peak WWF time. But 1985, WWF, obviously just come out of WrestleMania. They had a connection with MTV. They were dominating on TV. They were all over it. They had pay-per-view. Why not get into the realm of music? So we are going to talk about the wrestling album. What I'm going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the album. Then we're going to talk about the songs. And what we're also going to do in the songs is whoever sang the song or who's involved in the song, we're going to select a match from the time period that this album was out that they were in, talk about the match. It might not even be a match. It might be a segment or something like that that we're going to talk to that will give us multiple looks at 1985 and even in 86 WWF a little bit. So let's jump right into it. So the wrestling album is the debut album, which was released by the World Wrestling Federation on November 9th, 1985. It was at the height, like I said, at the Rock and Wrestling Connection era. It featured mostly theme of wrestlers on the roster at the time. It peaked at number 84 in the Billboard album charts. None of the singles received any heavy radio airplay, nor did they crack the top 100. As far as production, most of the songs were produced by Rick Derringer, David Wolf, who at the time was Cyndi Lauper's manager and boyfriend, was executive producer, and you know Cyndi Lauper were very heavily involved in WWF during this whole rock and wrestling connection thing. The album was basically David Wolf's concept. Jim Steinman composed and produced Hulk Hogan's theme, which was used as the Hulk Hogan rock and wrestling cartoon theme, which you heard at the beginning of this pod. Lauper actually participated on the album as a backing vocalist on Real American, which would eventually become Hulk Hogan's entrance theme, but I will talk about that in a minute. And as well for Everybody, as well as she was producer of Captain Lou Albano's track under the pseudonym Mona Flambe, which we'll talk about here, Captain Lou and Georgie on the Steel song. The album was reissued in 1998 on CD. The album's tracks are bridged with commentary from Vince McMahon, Mean Gene, and Jesse the Body Ventura between every song. I did not have that be a part of tonight's show because that would have been basically a lot to download, whatever. But we do have every song for you tonight. Three singles were issued from this album, Land of a Thousand Dances, Grab Them Cakes, and Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy. We'll go in detail with all of them. All three singles were issued in picture sleeves and featured Captain Lou's history of music. Captain Lou is the B-side. Grab Them Cakes. We'll talk about a song that was based off of when we get to it. And we have a couple other things as well that we'll talk about in some of the other songs that are actually pulled from songs from the past. The gate cover fold features a majority of the WWF's 1985 roster posing on a recording studio with McMahon, Oakland, and Ventura in the foreground and ring announcer Howard Finkel in the center, because Lauper could also be seen on the back cover wearing a black wig and holding a Rickenbacker guitar. So I believe the cover is probably taken from when they filmed the video for the Land of a Thousand Dances, which we'll go into detail with that as well. All right. So here are the list. Here are the track listings. So the Wrestlers sing Land of a Thousand Dances. Junkyard Doll with Vicky Sue Robinson sing Grabs Them Cakes. Rick Derringer sings Real American. Jimmy Hart has Eat Your Heart Out, Rick Springfield. Captain Lou and Albano and George the Animal Steel have Captain Lou's History of Music / Captain Lou. Side 2 had the WWF All-Stars Hulk Hogan's theme that you all remember from Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. Roddy Piper has For Everybody, which has an interesting story around it, which I'll talk about when I get to it. Mean Gene Okerlund, Tutti Frutti, Hillbilly Jim, Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy. And Nikolai Volkov's Cara Mia, however you pronounce it, which also has an interesting backstory. So a little bit of a history of the album, some of the ins and outs of it, and I'll tell some stories as we go through the individual songs. So the first song you already heard tonight was Hulk Hogan's theme from The Rock and Wrestling, which was also supposed to be his theme. However, what would eventually become his theme was Real American, which was initially meant for the U.S. Express of Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, for them, when they were, you know, but as you know, Barry Windham eventually walked away from the team. You ended up Mike Rotundo with Dan Spivey, and this actually became Hulk Hogan's theme, and he debuted it as his theme on February 30th, 1985 at a Madison Square Garden show. So I'm going to play that song for you now, and then after we play the song, we'll talk about it, and then we're going to lead into the match that I selected to talk about with Hulk Hogan from Boston in early 1986. But for now, let's listen to Real American.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. Fight for what's right, fight for your life.
What else can you say about Real American except it's an absolute banger? Like, if you're a wrestling fan and you hear that song and you don't get up and freaking just get pumped up, I still get pumped up every time I hear it, even after its debut almost 40 years ago. It's just an absolutely amazing song. Still blows my mind that it was meant for probably one of the lamest duck people, Mike Rotundo. And even though I love Barry Windham, just doesn't seem like a theme that would fit either one of those guys, but definitely fits Hulk Hogan. So we'll talk about our first match tonight. It'll be Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage, and we're going to Boston 5/24/86. The Savage is your Intercontinental Champion. It is not on the line. Savage has been champ for about 3 months at this point, having to beat Tito Santana. Gorilla and Lord Alfred Hayes are on commentary. So just some things on this match. The crowd was absolutely lit for Hogan. First 10 minutes, a big tease and stalling and contact, and they both spit at each other. But the entertainment value of the crowd was great because even though they're stalling, but there was a lot of like fun spots where they're both backing on the ring from each other after they spit on each other. Just really fun stuff. Hogan kicks his ass from there. Early Hogan is so good as he connects with a suplex and running axe elbow to the head and multiple power moves. Savage takes control and kicks Hogan's ass after a top axe handle outside and throws him into the barricade and a crowd. He hits his elbow for two, and then Hogan throws him up in the air and off, which is going to take us to the back end of this match so you can hear how it actually finishes. So take a listen to this.
By the champion who's not knocked outside the ring.
The referee is right down
out here ringside.
He's snatching the belt.
The belt.
Our
timekeeper
went
flying.
He got to jump from the top corner with that belt.
Look out.
Oh, right to the head of the Hulk.
Right between the eyes of the champion with that steel belt. And referee still out on his back inside the ring.
That's a solid gold belt, and that's very, very heavy.
This is the most trouble I've ever seen Hulk Hogan
I've never seen Hulk suffer like
career.
This before. He's laying down there with the belt on his chest, but does he know what's happened?
Savage now telling the referee to count this guy out.
Which he's doing.
He's about to do it.
And it looks as if the Hulk is cut.
Hulk is busted wide open after being clobbered with his own belt.
And I believe the referee has given this to the Macho Man.
Well, he won't win the title that way, Alfred. Can't win it on a count out of disqualification, only on a pinfall or submission.
But it's going to go into the record book that he's beaten the world champion.
Absolutely.
When clearly to you and I, he hasn't.
Well, the Hulk was counted outside the ring. I think he would have been disqualified by the referee anyway. He just clobbered the referee with a clothesline. Let's get the official word.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this match, by a count out, Randy the Macho Man Savage.
That is an absolute travesty of justice, if ever I have seen one.
Macho Man victorious here in this match, champion still on his back, bleeding profusely. You can see the blood everywhere. Doesn't want to turn loose at the ball. Look at that. Just nailed Danny Davis with the right hand.
He knows that's not his.
Savage holding on to that championship belt, but it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to that man right there, Hulk Hogan.
Well, Hulk Hogan is still the world champion, but does this make Randy Savage the number one heavyweight in the world? What is the situation now?
Absolutely not. Look at the Hulkster just coming to life, realizing what's transpired here. Right out after the Macho Man. He wants another piece of him.
He's got the Macho Man up on the
back. Hulkster carrying the Macho Man back to the ringside. Blood pouring out of his forehead.
Whoa. Hulkster is going to show you exactly what he should have done before.
Talk about your true champions. You're looking at one right here in Hulk Hogan.
A taste of his own medicine.
He's going to clobber him with the belt up there. Look out. Oh, he ducked underneath it.
And is he running? Look at the Macho Man. He's quick.
Savage headed for higher ground. as that man right there, the world's champion, erupted. Wow, what a match.
The most incredible match of 1986. Look at that man.
Hulk Hogan pushed to the limit by the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, Macho Man Randy Savage. I don't know, if Savage could have got him back inside the ring, we might have had a new champion.
I don't know about that, Gorilla, but I'm going to say this. There is a defeat for the World Heavyweight Champion, and how rare is that?
Hulkster not too happy.
It goes down in the record book, Hulkster. You lost one.
A crazy good match there. Just the ending was great. Hogan was bleeding badly after the top rope belt. Blood was everywhere, including his white tights when he posed at the end. Big win for Savage here at this time. Great aftermatch, a great look forward to what we see a few years later with these two, knowing what's coming. So loved it. High energy crowd, and these two worked it really, really well. So I went 3.5 stars on this one. Just really, really great match you should seek out from Boston. Really, really good of some of the early stuff between these two. So our next match, our next song will be Captain Lou's History of Music with George Steele. And we're going to play the song, but then what I'm going to do is I'm going to play immediately after song, we are going to play the follow-up, which is a pretty notorious segment from 1985. When George Steele got shock therapy on TNT because he had recently made a face turn, and as Vince delicately tries to put it, they are trying to make him normal, but Vince doesn't really do a great job of selling what he's going to do in terms of how they view George Steele. It's very interesting wording he uses. So let's listen to that song from Captain Lou and George Steele, and then we'll go right into the George Steele shock therapy segment from 1985 TNT.
Hey, Captain, you go.
George, it all started back before the beginning of time, when the windy wind blew through the trees and banged against the rocks, creating a beat. Natives, Indians, and visitors would long for that sound. Until one day, George, Lanito, Busquimps, Albano, picked up a big stick and hit a dirt pocket. Got it, George? The sound so moved Lanito that he called that sound a beat, a drum. Do you hear me, George? A drum, and it sound like this. Ah, music to my ears. And the natives were chanting, Poya, Poya, Pino Sona, Poya, Poya, Pino Sona, which means turn down, me one solo. But the neighbors were complaining because of the noise. Right from the beginning, rock had a bad name. The neighbors complained, they moved. The new neighbors complained. It was almost like being on tour, George. So finally they moved to the beach. And that was the first beach band, the great Captain Lou, Kaluna, El Bello. So I started everything, George. Everything's all right, Captain Lou, all right. I'm a man of a thousand faces. I know we'd be going places.
impressed the history of rock and roll with Captain Lou Albano. What about you, Vince?
Oh, that man can sing as well as eat.
I'll tell you what, it didn't sound to me like he was strumming the rubber bands. It sounded like he was chewing on them.
On show TNT, then you perhaps have seen Dr. Sigmund Ziff before. In a moment, we're going to take you to Dr. Sigmund Ziff's offices once again. And of course, Mr. Ziff, if you will recall, or for the benefit of those of you who don't know too much about him, he's the most unusual individual in that he allegedly holds two, I would say, somewhat dissimilar degrees, if you would. One in gynecology, the other in psychiatry. Nonetheless, Louis Albano apparently has a great deal of faith in Dr. Sigmund Ziff. In a moment, we'll take you to the offices of the good doctor, where we were going to see, and you're not going to believe this, shock treatment. George the Animal Steele, who obviously has a somewhat of a speech impediment, and Lou Albano claims a throwback to an earlier period of man, maybe the Cro-Magnon area, Neanderthal even. But right now, let's take you to the offices of Dr. Sigmund Ziff, Louis Albano, yours truly, and George the Animal Steele. Boy, looking around, back in Dr. Sigmund Ziff's office, and a few more degrees here on the walls than we were here before, Mr. Albano, and what exactly have you asked the good doctor to do today?
Well, I've asked the doctor to put George under this special treatment. It's a shock therapy treatment, and he believes that he can bring George...
Wait a minute. Excuse me. You, Dr. Sigmund Ziff, are going to administer shock treatment?
Yes, it's going to be the most shocking thing that you ever saw. And that is good. Bring out the animal. Bring him back to intelligence. I will raise the level of intelligence to the brink and beyond to genius.
And you're going to allow this doctor to perform shock treatment on your man?
The doctor was highly recommended to me, and I believe that the doctor can do it. I have complete confidence in the doctor, and I'm going to trust the brain of George Steele, the medulla oblongata. I'm going to trust that in the hands of Dr. Ready? Sigmund Ziff. Go ahead, doctor. Do your stuff.
Right. George, I have for you a surprise. A little hat, George, what I'm going to put
it.
Don't worry, George.
Like
one
it.
Thing, watch the watch. You're watching the watch. You see the watch. Clickety-clickety-clickety-click. He's under. Okay. Now, very quietly, very, very quietly, we're putting on this hat. It's a good size 9.5.
You've got to be kidding me, Mr. Albano.
No, easy, Mr. McMahon, easy. Watch this,
ready?
Vince.
Ready? We turn
You're
the
kidding
machine.
Me.
No, we want to tell me.
He knows what he's doing.
George, I give you a little bit of shock treatment. Just a little
Wait a minute, look at that.
That's coming up, George. George, you feel wonderful. George, look at the intelligence in his eyes.
Look
the
at
bubbling
it.
Is coming up. It's coming up. It's working.
Hey,
wonderful.
Yeah.
It's working out. Oh, George is smiling. Intelligent smile, George. Say, George. Animal. Say something. Animal.
Boom.
Home? We got it! It's coming! George, I speak to you! George, you wonderful son! I feel so good! Now I give you more of the treatment. Up. Keep coming. Say something intelligent! Say something intelligent now, George!
How now, brown cow?
Oh, it's getting tight! Listen. Give him more! I take him up to the room!
You sure he's gonna give him more?
Up! Up and away! It's going! It's higher! It's good! It's coming! It's wonderful! It's coming! What's happening? George, you
better cut that off!
George!
Wait, Doc!
Wait, Doc! George, say something!
Wait, Doc!
Come on!
Me? What have you done?
You quack, you animal doctor,
you veterinarian!
I have 3 degrees from
what
you
did?
Wait a minute.
From Boston College, and I get the 3rd degree from the
You
Baltimore
got a degree from nothing! Department.
What are you telling me? I'm a quack!
I'm going to tell you something, Ziff! You're liable for lawsuit! We're going to sue you, Ziff!
What?
You destroyed this man!
Me? I will not take this leg down!
Oh, no!
When I will
you destroyed him!
I did not destroy him! I bring him
You're a quack! You're a halfwit!
I will not.
You're gonna BAU, you're a garbage collector!
Talk to me!
Yes!
My lawyer!
You're gonna hear from us, you'll hear from my attorney!
All right, we'll be back!
So, there you have it, the George the Animal Steele shock therapy segment on TNT. Typical mid-80s WWF at its best and ridiculous. You have a doctor of gynecology trying to cure a Neanderthal through shock treatment, according to what Vince was saying at the beginning. And probably one of those moments where you easily see early Vince signs, or should I quote early Vince signs, were there in 85 that have come to light in a broader issue in current times, but probably wouldn't sit well in today's world, just for the simple fact that 85 you could get away with certain things, but even if you listen to Captain Lou's History of Music and some of the things that were going on in the background with George Steele, and then some of the reactions they got from George Steele, some of the comments they made, they would not hold up well in today's world in terms of socially acceptable. And it probably wasn't socially acceptable in 85, but it's certainly not socially acceptable now. So, yeah, interesting, but definitely a quintessential moment of TNT television with George Steele trying to turn face to cure him through shock therapy. But at any rate, so we're going to go to our next song. And this song is a big one for the time, and it is Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy by Hillbilly Jim. And we're going to play that song for you now, and then we're going to get into the match that I selected to kind of represent Hillbilly Jim at this time frame. So let's listen to Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy.
With a country boy, a country boy, a country boy. Don't go messing with a country boy, don't mess with a country boy. When I was a little bitty boy, baby, I cut my teeth on a big old tree. Mama filled my bottle from a moonshine spill. My first meal was a bass she killed. A bass she killed, a bass she killed. My first meal was a bass she killed. Well, I grew by the time I was 10. I was 6 feet tall and a man among men. Now I love my work and I love my play. I hate the fool that'll get in my way. Get in my way, get in my way. I hate the fool that'll get in my way. Don't go messing with a country boy, a country boy, a country boy. Don't go messing with a country boy, don't mess with a country boy. With a country boy, this is what'll happen to you. You be biting off a hunk too big to chew, big to chew, big to chew. You be biting off a hunk too big to chew. That's what'll happen to you. Don't go messing with a country boy, country boy, a country boy. Don't go messing with a country boy, don't mess with a country boy. Country boy, country boy, don't go messing with a country boy.
Presents and is a great wrestling song and probably one of the more famous ones that came out of this. So that's going to transition us into the match I picked for tonight, and kind of historical one for a couple different reasons. So for Hillbilly Jim, we're going to represent Hillbilly Jim and Ted Arcidi versus King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd. It is formed the 426-86 Championship Wrestling. We're kind of fresh out of Mania 2 here, so Bundy obviously had just had his match with Hogan in the cage. Hillbilly over time had his issues with Bundy and Studd, and Arcidi was the current strong guy, and he was huge, and he was the first WWF guy to be called the world's strongest man. He was unfortunately released in 1987 when Ken Patera came back from jail, so we did not confuse the strongman, and Arcidi would leave and go on to go to world class of all places, be Texas champion, and I believe he finished up his career out there in terms of wrestling. The other thing about Ted Arcidi in this is he also scored himself an OG IGN figure in the day. So kind of a moment in time there where if you were a lucky one to be one of those IGN figures, you almost have to be legendary. Apparently Andre was supposed to be here, and he was not. Apparently this is around the time he was getting ready to film The Princess Bride, which led to an angle of he supposedly got suspended for not showing a match. Then it led to a stint as one of the machines in a mask. And again, so a lot of stuff going on angle-wise here. There wasn't not much to this match. A lot of B-smacking with RCD actually press stud, but had it broken up by Bundy. So, but really not much to it. Let's play the end of this tape. You can hear how the end went because it did not go very well for the faces.
RCD had Big John Studd way up in the air, and what a slam he was going to get until Bundy came in and interfered.
And that's what saved that slam, because RCD had John Studd way up, and he was going to say, look, he just hit the referee. Studd actually hit the referee.
Disqualification. Studd and Bundy have been disqualified. So it'll go down as a disqualification, Andre or no Andre. Come on, get order here.
Winners of this bout, as a result of a disqualification, Ted RCD and Hill the Legion.
For a syndicated match, I'm sure this is fine, but faces basically got their asses handed to them, even in the win. So I'd go 1.5. You know, it would have been probably better if we had Andre in it, but like we said, there were other things going on in that. But yeah, not a great match. But again, on syndicated TV. All right, so our next song is kind of one that I was trying to figure out why this person is doing it. So it's called Karamri Mia. It's sung by Nikolai Volkov, and I did some research on this because when you do a pod called Territorial, you obviously do research on things. So apparently Cara Maria was a song that was done by Jay and the Americans some time ago. In 1965, it was released, and what I've discovered is the meaning of Cara Mia is my dear in Italian. In Spanish, basically, you could say amor mio, mi cielo, mi vida. So the fact that you have a Russian singing this song is kind of crazy. So I guess I get to humor in it. But not one of my favorite songs off the album. But what we're going to do is we'll play the song. And then we're going to talk about the match we're talking about, because it's a pretty significant match in history. Not because of the match, but because who gets introduced to us at the start of the match. And we'll talk about that after we play the song.
Must we say goodbye? If I part my heart on the dark, not in her my word, gotta be a friend. I belong to the earth. Oh,
the best
best song written
Get
ever.
Get a hold of yourself.
The song that most people sing than anybody else. The Russian national anthem. Listen to this.
The whole album has been great. This is garbage. This is an insult. Come on, this is an American album. You know what that means.
It doesn't matter when you're a musician. You listen to notes, man. Listen.
That's discord. That's only Freddie Blassie can be proud of that.
Somebody
throw a switch, will you? Get him out of there.
I like the heel stuff at the end. Get him off. Pull the switch. Get him the hell out of here. So, again, it's kind of a fun thing, but the Russians singing an Italian song that I had no idea existed until I looked it up for a wrestling podcast. But nonetheless, not my favorite song, but pretty humorous. But let's talk about the match. So the match I'm going to have represent kind of this song. Obviously, the Sheik and Volkov were quite the tag team back in the day, former tag team champions. As you got into 1986 a little bit, not as, I guess you'd call them almost like a Jobber to the Stars tag team, and they kind of are that way for a while, because after they lost the tag team titles, they kind of went backwards, and they never really recovered as a team. But however, here on this match, September 9th, 1986, Championship Wrestling, Sheikha Volkov will be taking on Tony Garea and Korpor Kirshner. Now, the interesting thing about this is, kind of a great value slaughter. Garea, former tag team champion. We'll talk about the match in a minute. But I want to play you the opening of this match. And the reason is not because of the match, but we have our very first introduction to someone that has a huge presence on the next wrestling album, and his name is Slick. So let's take a listen to his introduction.
Just a minute. I've got some news. Your pessimistic geeks, as of now, I have sold one half of the contract of the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. That's right, it's a bomb. But I've got more money. It's in the bank. McMahon, it's in the bank. You said to let you know. Well, it's in the bank under my name. More money than any wrestler or any promoter has ever made in professional wrestling. And it was given to me by this man. This man. Right here. Come on out. Don't be bashful. His name is Slick. Come on out.
What'd he say his name?
Slick. Ladies and gentlemen, this tag team encounter is scheduled for
Slick.
One fall.
Slick.
May I introduce
Look at the smile
manager, Fred Blassie, and the co-manager, Slick.
So there you have it. To start the match, we get the intro of Slick. Blassie and him are now co-managers. You know, Blassie, as you know, for most of you, he will fade out over time as Slick becomes the full-on manager. But doesn't really heighten how the tag team goes south. So Slick is now part manager of Sheikha Volkov. So welcome. Quite the contrast for Blassie. You kind of have the old-school guy, and then Slick comes in. I mean, let's be perfectly honest, dressed almost pimpish, I guess, if you were to watch Starsky and Hutch back in the day, if I'm going to age myself a little bit. They had a character there named Huggy Bear that looks exactly like Slick, so interesting. But anyway, so, and you heard Finkel in his introduction, Slick? So kind of says it all. And the crowd also is like, what the fuck? But anyway, let's talk about the match. Kirshner, at this point, had a bit of a mini push. Like I said, he's kind of the great value slaughter sub. Garea, former tag team champ, but his best days are behind him. The match totally stunk. The faces got destroyed and the heels win after Volkov pushes Sheik over on a small package from Garea and reverses it. And Sheik ends up with the small package while the ref is distracted. So they actually get a win. But the match is a complete and total dud. But again, it's a perceived main event on syndicated TV. So I guess we'll roll with it. But the match sucked. Slick is here. And there you have it. So our next song is from the Slammy Awards that came out of this album. And it is a live performance from one Mean Gene Okerlund. Everyone knows Mean Gene Okerlund on the mic. However, he does a rendition of Tutti Frutti at this year's Slammy Awards that come out of this. And we're going to play the what's actually played at the Slammy Awards. And we're going to listen to Mean Gene's version of Tutti Frutti right now.
My pleasure to introduce to you one of the individuals who has been nominated for Best Single Vocal Performer on the Wrestling Album. Would you please welcome the gentleman singing Tutti Frutti, Mean Gene Okerlund! Tutti Frutti is something else. Gene, are you all right down there?
This performance was something. Mean Gene was getting down with a band that I would say reminded me of the band on The Muppets with Animal playing the drums. And then you got Mean Gene dressed in his tuxedo, rocking out with the crowd and starting it all out with his back behind to everybody and then just jamming. At the end of the video, his tuxedo jacket comes off and he does a stage dive into the crowd, which is why you heard Vince go, Gene, are you okay? But definitely a fun little video to watch for the Slammy Awards. Fun little song. Mean Gene really took it in. And again, obviously this is an older song that Mean Gene did, but a lot of fun, this video from the Slammy Awards that came out of this album. So definitely a win on that one for Mr. Mean Gene. All right, so that's going to take us to our next track. And that's going to lead us into our next match, actually, because the match that'll represent, obviously, we represent the individual in the time frame who is very, very famous and involved in a lot of things. coming out of WrestleMania in 1985, then got into a feud with Paul Orndorff, which we're going to talk about because we have a match we're going to talk about with him. But it's Roddy Roddy Piper, and the track he is doing is called For Everybody. And again, as I do research, For Everybody was a cover of a song by a band called Mike Angelo and the Idols, a song called Fuck Everybody, that they had removed all the profanity in before, obviously, they went into this. So I'm going to play the song, and I'm going to do a mashup here of this one as well, which you're going to hear another mashup later on another song that they did as a mash from another song later in this episode. But you're going to hear the Idols song, Fuck Everybody, and I'm going to transition Piper's song into it. So this will be your first true mashup of the evening of two to come. So again, the beginning of this will be Mike Angelo and the Idols song, Fuck Everybody, and then Piper will come right in one of the verses with his version of For Everybody, and then we'll talk about the song, and then we will transition into the match of Paul Orndorff versus Roddy Piper from August 3rd, 1985, from Boston.
I used to worry about what people thought about me. Now I couldn't care less, as you can plainly see. They said I was stupid. They said I was strange. Well, maybe I am, but I'll never change. The world may not like me, but that's okay. There's only one thing I've got to say. Fuck everybody. Fuck everybody. They talked about me a bunch of dirty lies. Then they laughed at me till they made me cry.
But now they can all just kiss my trash. Cause I found myself in such a gas. One may not like me, but that's okay. There's only one thing I got to say, yeah. Fuck everybody. Oh, fuck everybody. I took a sideman who, Lord knows how tried. I kicked a lot of trash. I lost a lot of pride.
Proud of myself for that mashup because it seemed to transition pretty smoothly from Fuck Everybody to the For Everybody. The song makes sense for me now. At first, I was trying to struggle with myself a little bit why the song's called For Everybody. Now that I realize what the song really was and where it came from, makes total sense for 1985 Piper, who's obviously probably the biggest heel in wrestling at that point in time. So it makes total sense. Thank you for Wikipedia for clarifying for me the Piper song and why the song is what it is. So that transitions us into our next match that will represent Piper in this time frame from 1985. It is Paul Orndorff versus Roddy Piper, post-Mania fallout after the Orndorff face turn coming out of WrestleMania. Right from the start, Piper calls out Paula and says he won't hurt him on the mic. And of course, then Orndorff comes out and then they just straight up brawl for like 10 minutes. And it's just these two basically beating the piss out of each other until Piper kind of slows it down, with a sleeper, but Paul fights out of it. And then they both, in the end, fall to the floor over the top rope on an Orndorff crossbody. And then I will play the end of that match for you guys now. And then we'll final wrap that match up as we before we transition to the next part of this pod.
Oh, look at this. Both of them backwards. Over the top rope, down to the concrete.
Knocked the table down. It could have been very seriously injured.
Both men slugging it out now.
Outside of the ring.
Look out. Piece of steel, microphone stand. Oh, Piper got it. Right across the back of the neck.
I can't believe he's still standing.
Rams him into the ring apron.
Piper staggered by the punishment.
He doesn't know where he is.
This has got to be...
Oh, referee's calling for the bell here.
What happened?
One or both of them were counted out, Gene.
What happened?
Look out.
Oh!
Pearl Harbor job from behind.
Oh, he nailed the referee. Roddy Piper has done it again. He'll never get away with this.
He'll be fined heavily for that one.
That's going to cost him $5,000 if it costs him a nickel.
Absolutely. You cannot do that. Orndorff going out after him. Slugging it out now. In the corridors. And there goes Piper and Orndorff right on his case.
They're going to take this one back to the locker rooms. Maybe out into the parking lot. Out of the streets of Boston. This week. Oh, what a war continuing on between Roddy Piper. There's a tear. Oh!
Pandemonium broken loose here in the Boston Garden.
Oh!
And this vendetta was not settled.
Once again, I don't think we have heard the end of this story. Both men counted out at the Boston Garden. Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in World Wrestling Federation action.
Unbelievable.
Fun brawl from Orndorff and Piper in this one. You know, you heard the end of it. You heard how it played out, but they're in a real blood feud. We didn't get like a real clean finish, basically just 10 minutes. But again, fun brawl, 2.5. Another one from Boston on 8/3/85. So our next song is probably one of the most infamous songs that came from this album. And I think most people will remember. I think if I were to say the top three, Grab Them Cakes, Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy, and Land of 100 Dances, which is where we're going to do now. And this is the video that they played. They kind of set it up on Saturday night's main event, and then they played the video. I'll talk about this video after we hear the song, but let's give this song a listen right now.
What would a party be without music? In just a moment, we're going to show you the very first broadcast premiere, as a matter of fact, music video done by the World Wrestling Federation, and you'll see the two sides go at it as never before in this form. Let's take a look. And remember, this video can be seen exclusively on MTV.
Come on, everybody, let's sing together! with my avalanche. I'm a switch of turn for the American. Russian on the American. Bomb, hack, club.
Oh no.
And I'll see you later.
I'm gonna steal your little girlfriend.
That's because all your fingers are stuck for after. Somebody say hello.
I want you to come in. Shoot a little bit with your dog.
Back to back, belly to belly, bumper to bumper, bristle rock.
Hot soldier.
You're breaking my heart, baby. How would you like an apple to come down to your head?
I said, ain't enough, baby. I'll do the strut up and down your spine. Too good for my pig dog, a whole lot better.
Okay, 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 that's enough, everybody. I did a fool, this is hot rod talking. The guy says his pig talk better. Are you ready, me? Stop the music, stop the rock and roll. You can take the goonies, stick the goonies in your nose. What the heck you doing out there? You're that goofy gangster.
Really great video. It just showcases all the wrestlers at the time in 1985, and also a great grab by getting it on MTV. And like we said, MTV has been a pretty big good partner for the WWF, obviously coming out of WrestleMania, the whole rock and roll connection there, the whole war to settle the score. Really good partners, but good to get the video on there. The other thing I really liked about it is you got people like Barry O and SD Jones. Getting a little bit of shy, you see Barry Oates clapping a whole lot. But SD Jones actually gets some lines in this. You get pre-adorable Adrian Adonis, where he's still in that mode where he's Dick Murdoch's tag team partner. I think Murdoch's gone at this point, but he's still in the biker jacket, so he hasn't shifted into the Adonis mode. Meatloaf on the drums took me out a little bit because I don't remember Meatloaf ever being in this video. And I'm a big Meatloaf guy, so that popped me. And I would kind of resonate it to, like, you know, We Are the World, WWF 85, which is the summer before We Are the World came out, because it's a very interesting time, and the WWF to do a video very similar to the video like we saw in that is great. And recently Netflix just released this whole documentary about the We Are the World making of the video. I would have loved to have seen a Land of a Thousand Dances documentary on how they made this video. And I love that it closes with a brawl, typical wrestling, and Mean Gene under a desk doing commentary. Just really, really good stuff. So we're going to transition to our next set of songs. So the first one, Jimmy Hart, who used to be in a band, obviously, so it makes sense that he would be on this album as some kind of music, you know, person to do a song on this. But Rick Springfield, the topic of it, Eat Your Heart Out Springfield. Rick Springfield was really big in the 80s, but for me, more early 80s for my generation, if you know Jesse's Girl, as we got into like mid-80s, Rick Springfield kind of died off a little bit. It wasn't as popular. I think he had a movie that came out in 84. So 85 might be towards the tail end of when Rick Springfield was kind of a big deal. But regardless, Jimmy Hart decided to do a song about it. It's a pretty cool song. I like it if you listen to it. Take the outdated Rick Springfield reference at the time about it. But really, really enjoy this song. So let's take a look about listen to this song, and then we'll talk about it after we are done listening.
Ring, ring, hello, hello, hey, it's Cindy Ann.
No, who is this? What do you mean, who is this? This is Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. Where is she? She's going to the Rick Springfield concert. Rick Springfield?
Tune sounded a little bit about Mickey Mouse when he was doing that whole ringing at the beginning of the song, but I do enjoy that song. It's a nice little catchy tune, and it's good. So Jimmy Hart, the reason why I placed this one here, is actually the manager of the person that is going to be in our mix next match, and the next song I'm going to play kind of coincides with that match, because Jimmy Hart will be managing Terry Funk in our next match, which will be against the Junkyard Dog. And I think Junkyard Dog definitely has one of the most popular songs on here, obviously, with Grab Them Cakes. The funny thing about this song that I did not know was that it was originally done in 1981. I guess it was recorded by a rap artist named Captain Chameleon, who also recorded a song called Jive Old Foe, which was covered on the follow-up album to this, Pile Driver, the wrestling album, under the title Jive So Bro. So this song was written by David Wolfe, but I had no idea that this song, or even Jive So Bro, came from this random rap artist, Captain Chameleon. So what I'm going to do is we're going to play the beginning of Captain the Chameleon's version, and we're going to transition right into JYD's version of Grab Them Cakes. And then we'll talk about the song, and then we'll transition right into the Junkyard Dog versus Terry Funk match, and we'll talk about that one. That will be from October 25th, 1985. So give this song a lesson. Remember, it's a mesh. So the beginning of this will be the Captain Chameleon, and it'll transition right into the JYD version. So kind of a cool little mashup here. Bye.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you something. Well, I started this dance in the neighborhood. And now everybody doing it because I feel so good. And all you need is a partner that know how to move. And then the rest is real easy. You just dig the groove. And when you get yourself started, it's hard to stop. You just go for your partners. You know what? And the G-R-A-B-T-H-E-M-C-A-K-E-S. That's right.
Grab them cakes.
Now that's all you do. You gotta grab them cakes. And I don't care what it takes. Just grab them cakes. Oh, what a feeling when you do it to me. Just grab them.
Living color. Well, you move to the left, then you move to the right, then you squeeze your partner with all your might. Then you let your man loose, then you turn him on out. Then you do your thing, just scream and shout. And you get yourself started, it's hard to stop. You just go for your partners, you know what? And then you
G-R-A-B-T-H-E-F-C-A-K-E-S.
But twist it still a little bit of something, baby.
Yes.
I'm bumping it. You know what? I do your G-R-A-B-T-H-E-M-C-A-K-E-S. Ah, grab them cakes. Oh, is that all you do? I say grab them cakes.
Oh, he'll have what it takes.
Grab them cakes.
Oh, what a feeling when you do it to me.
Just grab them cakes. All the kids are done. All the kids are done.
Grab them cakes.
Don't like that song, I don't have anything for you, because very catchy, very resonates a lot with my childhood at the time frame. Also at the time, probably the best thing about the Junkyard Dog, because his glory days are behind him, because he was really big in Mid-South, was a big star, left Mid-South to go to the WWF, and if you've seen Dark Side of the Ring and all that nonsense, you know what actually happened to Junkyard Dog. But you'll kind of see why as I talk about this next match. So this next match is JYD versus Terry Funk. It is from 1025, 85 Boston. Of course, Terry Funk's one of my favorites. So Boston really brings the goods tonight. These two have been feuding for months at this point, and it feels like Funk, his run has been a little underrated, even though he too grabbed kind of like that OG LJN toy figure glory in his run, because there is one of him. Funk is Funk, and his reactions are crazy when JYD takes advantage of him. His sell on an atomic drop is pretty funny. Funk also doing repeated headbutts to JYD. That's the same result. The first 8 minutes of the match are all JYD until he gets hit from behind for chasing Jimmy Hart. But this lasts all of 1 minute as Funk gets body slammed on the floor outside. And then Funk later regains control. And there's a long sleeper spot. And then JYD comes back. And then we'll play the tape of the ending of this match for you, how this match ends.
And Hart's on the apron once more. Funk face down in the ring. Oh, he got it. The dog got the Brandon Iron. And he's got the Mouth of the South as well.
Now there's no call for that. Junkyard Dog should be disqualified for this.
Look out. Oh, Hart into the turnbuckle. Watch it, Terry Funk going for the branding iron.
Oh.
Look out.
Despicable on the part of the Junkyard Dog.
Mouth of the South, down and out. Give it a break, ref. What a miscarriage of justice here in the Boston Garden as Terry Funk just rammed that steel branding iron right into the back of the neck of the Junkyard Dog, who's still unconscious.
Well, I'll tell you, in my opinion, the dog had it coming. He had no business grabbing the Mouth of the South, dragging him in. He's twice his size, beating up on a little guy like Jimmy Hart.
What business did the Mouth of the South have interjecting himself into the match, Jess? That's why he got caught in there. Let's get the official word.
The winner of this match, Terry Funk.
Let's go back and take a look at the mayhem that erupted here in the Boston Garden.
Here
look at
see,
that guy, Jess.
He still hasn't made any contact. He's jumping up on the ring. He's telling the referee for the dog to turn him loose. Now there's the dog going over, grabbing the Mouth. No business doing that, in my opinion, Gorilla. He drags poor little Jimmy Hart into that ring, roughing him up. Now look at this. Jimmy Hart weighs about 120 pounds, soaking wet.
And he's going to get what's coming to him right here.
Throws Jimmy Hart into the turnbuckle. Now watch this.
Big mistake here by the dog. Took his eyes off of Terry Funk, who knew exactly where that branding iron was all the time.
Wham! Look at that. The dog punching Jimmy Hart right
in
the head.
Right here. Oh! Right in the back of the head. Junkyard Dog down. Referee should have called this match a long time ago for outside interference.
So there you have it. Terry Funk wins. Match was kind of mad. JYD already at this point, where he's somewhat cooked, doesn't really perform. I mean, if you watch Mid-South JYD and then you watch this, you kind of see, okay, he's kind of on that tail end. And as you know, as you get into 87 to 88, it's just a gradual kind of descent there. And he definitely shouldn't be do 17 minutes in a match. I did feel bad for Funk. I want a more batshit crazy Funk, but I'll go with gentleman's two. At least Terry got the win. So that'll bring us to the conclusion of tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed kind of this retrospect thing that we just did with the wrestling album, you know, the music, some of the matches that were going on at the time with the people that were involved. 1985, like I said earlier, is a very niche audience, very niche time for the WWF. A real true moment in time. If you really think through it, 85, probably through 87, are probably some really stellar moments for the WWF that a lot of people, at least from my generation, remember. So with that, we are going to close the pod tonight. So earlier we opened the pod with the Hogan theme that we all remember from Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. What you might not know about that song is a year after this album's release, Jim Steinman wrote lyrics to Hulk Hogan's theme, and it was re-released as a song called Ravishing that is on the opening track of Bonnie Tyler's 1986 album Secret Dreams and Forbidden Fire. So we are going to close tonight's episode of Territorial with that song, so I think you'll be pretty amused by it. The music theme is exactly the same, but hearing it with lyrics by Bonnie Tyler is absolutely something to like hear. So with that, we will see you on the next episode of Territorial. Thanks, everybody.
name.